the silence of the room, and it was a beautiful rap song. If you're not into rap, you are in luck today. I literally walked in to this room, not this room, but a room, and I was given some hot chocolate, and I sat in the most beautiful love seat. There was other couches and chairs in there, decorated for fall. There were pumpkins, spider webs. It was really a beautiful room. A lady came up. She said, "We'll be right with you, Mr. Hobbs." I was addressed directly. I was like, whoa, I've never been to this place before, and they already knew who I was. I was on time for my appointment. I went back, and inside my room were flowers and almost like spa-type music in the backdrop that was playing. It was, the lights were a little bit lower. I was tempted to just take a nap. So I came in. A lady came in to me, said, here's what this looks like. Here's what we're going to do. And would you like our comfort menu? I'm like, as if it's not already comfortable enough. They handed me a comfort menu. I looked at it, and I could choose headphones to enjoy even more music and to block out everything else around me that's going on. Soundproof headphones made by Bose, high quality. And I sat there, and I'm going, what else is on this? A blanket, a warm blanket was also offered to me. So I literally chose that too. I'm like, why not? I was given glasses, sunglasses to wear, just, you know, to block out anything else going on in the room. My seat was as comfortable as I'll ever remember. It was almost like a massage was about to happen. My chair went back, and I looked up, and I'm not joking you, the ceiling tiles were decorated for fall. There was a light fixture there. They had removed the plastic light insert, and they put in their fall leaves blowing through the wind with a blue sky and clouds in the backdrop. Folks, I'm describing for you a root canal location that I received this week. It was painful, but all the comforts were there. Full service. I was loaded with excitement. Yeah, right. I was like, I just want to do this, get on the boat, and get home. And I'm still in some pain from this thing, but I had to get it done. I have a trip here that's happening, and I sat back, and I wonder, why in the world would I want anyone to go through something like this? And yet, this doctor that came and sat down with me, she said, dude, this tooth of yours, it's in the very, very back, upper left side. She goes, it's totally neglect. There's no way you could have, you know, floss this thing. She goes, let's just do this. And I'm like, whatever, you're interrupting my song. Okay? I was completely out of it. I loved it. Well, everybody's either jazz-tracked out or dead tired or sick, but you're here and you made it. Give yourself a round of applause. Just go in a circle like that. You made it this morning. My goodness. For those of you listening online, welcome. This morning, our video did not work. It's a critical song. In fact, guys, keep digging back there. This is a song that's put out there to remind you that I am not leaving you alone. Anyway, is the spirit moving back there? Hey, later. Very cool. Yeah, we're going to move forward. It's not just one artist. It's two artists that come together to say, I'll find you. I'll find you. And the words were just as good as the song, as far as I'm concerned. At least you get to see something on the screen there. I'll find you. The Holy Spirit finds you. And just when you think this is going to be a miserable experience, like a root canal, okay? Very, very, very painful situation in my mouth. I've never had one in my life. I'm reminded through this that there is a procedure here that has to happen. It is going to be painful, but I'm going to bring as much comfort to the situation as I can. And that's my job. And this lady reminded me of Santa in so many ways. She's just high energy. She came in there and she said, you are the hero at the moment and you are the life of the party. I'm going, this is not a party. She goes, we're going to pretend like it's a party. I said, okay. I rushed to the boat, literally ran from the pike to the boat. I felt the procedure going up and down in my mouth. I mean, it was miserable. I wanted that headphones and my hot chocolate and everything else really bad. I just had to be thankful that it was done. For some of you guys in this room, big time, the Holy Spirit is so needed. And I need to remind you, and throughout this short message, you're going to hear he is needed, but you're also going to hear he's with you. And that's the thing, is we get hung up on that part. I don't feel him. I don't think he's here. Recently, we've been talking about this thing called following the master, our commander. Essentially, we've been saying that, you know, if we follow Jesus, just directly followed him, what he said to do, what he said it looks like to follow him, how would this look today, doing church? If you realized you are not alone, 24/7, not alone. And we're breaking this down today. You are not alone. And I'd love to have all the cheerleaders that we have, they're pretty tired after yesterday's game, come up here. And I love Reed's cheer. That was good enough for me to get you guys pumped up this morning to say, show some spirit. But if you realize that you are not alone, the Spirit would actually do something here beyond your control and what you see, because you trusted in him is not the issue. He would just do it. He's in charge. So why not jump into the fact that you know someone else is in charge? You can let go of control this morning. Why not? A great example set before us is the book of Acts. I cannot get out of it. I just came back from a conference, and I actually have other stuff this week, a taller order than I've had to deal with in many, many years. I'm not alone. And if you look at the book of Acts and you see how this church got started, you'll notice they were never alone, ever. In fact, they couldn't stand to be alone. They met together constantly. I love these verses, and I'm staying there. And if you haven't been here, let me just tell you the kind of thesis behind this. And I talked to a lot of different folks, all ages, all week long, all of them. And I say, hey, why don't you go to church? I actually just look at them and just say, do you go to church? Why don't you go to church? Yesterday we had breakfast at a church for the entire football team. It was very early in the morning, and guys were kind of trickling in, and one of them came into the kitchen I hadn't seen before in this building or in a church before. I'm like, and it was Jason. He had his hoodie on and everything else. He goes, what is this place? I go, it's a church. Haven't you been to church? He goes, not like this church, you know? And it's easy for me to break it down and go to the next question, say, why? Why don't you go to church? Is it the food? Is it the fact there is no food? Is the food suck? Is it just the wrong hour of the day? What does it look like? To be honest with you, the stuff that we hear and the stuff that I hear constantly is saying the same thing in my soul too. I don't like the reasons that they give either. I technically don't like that about church either. The stuff that they share with me, the fact that it can be boring, I'm sorry that has to happen like that in church. And it does happen like that in church. So we go back to the first church. We go back to look at it and say, what was different? You know, when things aren't going well, you look at the manual. If you can't seem to get it out of neutral and get it into, you just, like, pull off the road for a minute. What's wrong with my gears? What's wrong with my car? I need to look under the hood. I need to check this out. What we would call the early church. The fact that a group of Christians right after Jesus died and was resurrected, decided we're going to do this. We're going to keep doing this. What we've done, we looked at three things. The first group, they focused on Jesus entirely. They focused on Jesus. They literally said, this is not about me. What we have witnessed is too real. We have got to keep meeting together. I don't care what it takes and what the cost looks like. We're focusing on Jesus. It was all about Jesus. He had just left, so that seemed pretty obvious. Something is not going to happen here anymore with him. But he promised us something else. He promised us someone else. Let's start meeting and let's start preaching. Let's start teaching about Jesus. So they did. And the second thing is they were deeply committed to each other. That was the second time we talked about this thing. We were deeply committed. John shared last week his heart, Colossians 3. And others have shared in a worship sense to say, worship cannot really be done truly alone. It involves you and the Spirit of God. It involves you and others collectively. It is a beautiful thing when you're together and hearing what God is doing in someone else's life. And the worship team met this week in my house. I was only there for a few minutes, but you know, there's good food. It was warm. It was a really fun group that came into the house there. Committed to each other. I'm committed to spending time with you. They ate together. They spent time together. They met in each other's homes together. People ask, they say, why do you have so much stuff in your house all the time? I mean, don't you and Shelly get tired of that? Well, according to Acts 2, there's really no such thing. They sold their possessions so that people could have more money. They didn't make more money. They sold stuff and gave more away. So the bigger question is this. As they build each other up, is this happening in Avalon? It's a photo of the church in Charlotte that had a murder situation when someone came in and just took out all these lives. And the church came right back together again and symbolically said, we're not going to stop meeting together. What a gorgeous photo. They came together and said, man, you can't stop this. It's way bigger than this. And the last time I spoke, I talked about being concerned for the lost. A special heartbeat that all of us have, but I know I do deeply. Deeply concerned with those who need the good news. Today, showing some spirit. My gosh, do we need it? We need it. The town's starting to get quiet around here, isn't it? You want to solve that problem? Come to your local football game, okay? It is loaded with energy. Yesterday was a tough start for us at 1 o'clock. Typically, guys aren't too pumped up right around 1 o'clock. But we had a senior day and encouraged our seniors. It was a lot of fun. And there was some spirit there. The cheerleaders did what they could do, but it was hard to get people pumped and screaming at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday versus Friday night under the lights. The town's tired. It's been a long summer. There's events still going on. And after a rainstorm like we had the other night, who doesn't want to just chill and enjoy the fireworks that God put on? The book of Acts, it's actually called the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit is what it is. Look at Acts 2:33. In your notes, grab them, pull them out today. You'll need them. Acts 2:33 says this. Now he sits on the throne of highest honor in heaven. And this verse is in reference to Jesus. At God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us. Underline, pour out upon us, if you would. Okay? There's a pen nearby. Grab it. Just as you see and hear today. Okay? To pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. So it's saying Jesus went up to be at God's right hand, and the Holy Spirit was poured out upon us. And the next verse, Peter in this situation is preaching, and I love hearing his style. I love lots of preaching styles, and I listen to them, and I am edified by them and challenged by them. This is a unique style right here. Peter is throwing it out there, telling everyone about Jesus. This is one of those sermons where here it all comes out. His heart is just overflowing. Acts 2:37 says this. His words convicted them. How? Come on, folks. Deeply. Thank you. And they said to him and the other apostles, what should we do? Okay. Peter's out there preaching and they go, you're telling us about Jesus. Sounds great. What do we do with this? So he goes further to say this, okay? Each of you must turn from your sins. Turn to God. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you'll receive who? Yeah, that's the procedure. That's how it looks. If this happens, then this will happen. Underline the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what we know just from the beginning, okay? People are led by the Spirit. Jesus went to be with God, his Father. And he poured out the Holy Spirit. It was a gift. Okay? And so when you hear the word Spirit, like Holy Spirit, what do you think of? What words come to mind? Fire some at me when I say Holy Spirit. What comes to mind? Quick. Presence of God. What else? Comfort. Keep going. Guidance. Peace. Good. Miracles. Okay? Power. Okay? Taking good care of us. Provision. What's that? Always with us. Okay. Constant. When I was younger, I thought of Casper. I'm so sorry. It is that season. I thought of it. I just didn't know any better. You know, it's hard to grasp some of these things. You just described pretty much everything you'd want for someone here in this world, earthly world, to look like. Maybe a spouse. Maybe that close confidant. You know, I don't know. But this isn't who we're dealing with. This is God. Those are big words that you just used, okay? Huge words. In fact, When I consider the words that you used and the things you said, that's a tall order, okay? So one we're going to look back to today is this. I want you to look back on this and say, what is the Spirit doing in my life? What is the Spirit all about in my life? What does this mean to me personally? And let's look at it in your notes. First of all, 100% God. This is what Scripture teaches. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Literally, you've heard the word Trinity before. And I'm not making reference to the Matrix, okay, here. But the Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Before I became a Christian, hearing this whole thing, actually it was in middle school, for the very first time, I was so confused, very difficult to understand. I thought, how can God be a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit all in one? And I heard this described to me, and this guy was really good. He talked about it is very hard to get your hands around this. And so I wondered, how can you do this? And he explained to me, well, water has different properties, right? Water can be water. And it can also be, if you freeze it, it could be ice. And if you heat it, it could be vapor, but it's still what? Water. And I love that. And that helped me. Maybe that helps you. So I got a grip on that just for a little while, but I turned around and said, I still need more information. The Bible literally says the Trinity is the eternal being of God. So if you're sitting here going, I always hear people pray to the Spirit. Okay? You're praying to God. This is God. Indivisible. Infinite. The one being of God shared by three co-equal, co-eternal persons. And when I wrote that in my notes this week, I just thought to myself, our brains just don't get this. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, what you want to see, what you want to look at, okay, is the fact that it is God. Number two, the Holy Spirit, His actual presence is there. Write it in. His actual presence is there. Okay? Take the time to write these in. There's a reason we do that. It really helps going into your brain when you write things down. His actual presence is a big one. This is where we're parking. Showing some Spirit this morning is really all about acknowledging His presence. Acts goes further in 33. Remember this. It says this. The Father gave Him, meaning Jesus, the Holy Spirit to do what? Pour out upon us. God's actual presence. If you catch this, huge ramifications for your life, especially for those of you who are Christians. God's presence is with you. A friend of mine just recently, who was in my youth group through middle school and then high school, had a chance to lead him to Christ at a camp. He's now a pastor of my old church that I came to. He decided to go on this weight loss program, and he literally lost a ton of weight really fast. He's a great pastor. He's a great friend. We talk a lot about pastor stuff. And he looked pretty gross to begin with. But he lost all this weight because Tim Tebow's coming to his church. You ever heard of Tim Tebow? Right? He has this big event going on with Carrie Joby. And he's got all this stuff happening. It's a really big event. He thought, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to look like Tim. So he did this on purpose to lose weight. And yet the phone call this week said, dude, I've got all this flabby stuff going on now. I lost the weight, but I can't really lose all this extra skin going on. Now, most of you in this room right now are extremely grossed out, okay? You're thinking, that's a lot of weight to lose, but is it worth it with all the extra skin? I've lost you, but the bigger thing I've lost you about is this. God's actual presence is with you 24/7. You can lose with your behavior. You can lose with sin. You cannot lose that Holy Spirit. Once you have accepted Christ as your Savior, He is with you. You have Him. No matter what you go through in life, knowing this, that God's presence is with you all the time, show some Spirit. Show some Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit is. Present with you. Loves you. I snapped this pic in our last game. It's a neat pick. In fact, it was so big in a pano that it wouldn't blow up properly. So you can't really see this that good. I wish we could zoom in a little bit closer. But this is our football team in our really crummy weather condition that we had. And they were all bunched together in this one little shelter. The winds were blowing 20, 30 knots with stronger winds. Dust was everywhere. And we had a little situation on our hands with some referees that just weren't that great, and we just wanted to get out of there, you know? Let's just win this. Let's just get this half over and get out of there. The team sat very close together as you know, yesterday you'd see them kind of spread out a little bit in a section of the field. Well, this had some limited seating. Plus, the weather was windy and gnarly. Everyone just kind of stayed together. And our coach is here this morning. Mike was just kind of pacing back and forth, giving some last-minute things, remind him, hey, first half, we could clean up on this. We could do this a lot better. What the heck happened to you guys? Second half's another half. Let's do this, you know. It's a great speech. The picture looks really great of the team, but Mike looks weird. It's distorted a little bit because he was moving, okay? He's talking to you, paying attention to me. Shut up, man. Listen to what I have to say. You know, just monitoring things, constantly moving. The guys are sitting there and look great in the photo. Mike looks a little weird just because he's moving when I took a still shot. You get the picture. Anyone made one of those panos before and you just have this weird thing going on? My wife likes to be in both sides of a pano. I don't know how, you know, it's kind of weird. The reason I show you that picture is the Holy Spirit can feel that way at times. I don't really think something's happening, but I feel weird. Like something good is about to happen. I'm going to trust these emotions that I'm having right now because something bigger than me is doing something inside me right now. I can't explain it. The Holy Spirit's moving. You can't put your finger on it. And to some situations, it looks a little weird, a little bizarre. I don't expect God's Spirit in this right now, but others are praying for you, and sure enough, guess what happens? He shows himself, and you're safe. You've made it through. The direction is clear. His presence brings comfort. In the midst of the storm that's going on, there's clarity, there's direction, there's structure. This is what you need to do. Some of you listen to me right now. Look up here, okay? There is hell breaking loose in your world. There are storms happening all around you. Stay close to your Savior. Stay close to the Spirit of God. It may look a little weird. You can't put a finger on the definition. But he's moving. He's got advice. He's got counsel. He's got protection. Listen, we're going to get through this, and we're going to get back on the bus, and we're going to head back to Avalon. We're going to get through this moment right now, and let's just get out of here. Let's take our win. Let's get out of here. Okay? The Spirit works in such a way, and his direction is there, that you can't put your finger on what he looks like. A little distorted. Like, I don't know how that worked out, but man, I know. You prayed, and others were praying for you. And God's Spirit did something. Just give it to him and give him the credit that he deserves. Young Brandon yesterday, neck injury, maybe a head injury, I don't know. He's a great, great little football player, one of their better players for St. Michael's yesterday. A respectful young man, okay? Even while he was hurting, he was very respectful to the team and the staff that were trying to help out before the paramedics arrived. And even there, he was very cooperative. A lot of guys like that on that team. But we had a chance to pray for Brandon. Before the paramedics showed up, what else are we supposed to do? I mean, we don't have the answers right here. So I looked at Enrique, I'm like, let's pray. Let's pray over his neck. And he goes, I was thinking the same thing. And their trainer goes, I was thinking the same thing. You know, it's a neck injury, a lot of unknowns. And hopefully this kid's going to be okay. I trust that he is. He was in very good hands on the field there. Good guys doing great things. I don't know. I can't see. I can't look inside to see how the damage looks in there. It's a little shaky right there. Could be a neck injury. Could be totally fine. I don't have the answers. I'm going to trust the Spirit of God. I'm going to ask him for help. His actual presence is with you. Now, I could close right there. Some of you really needed that. But let me go a little further. Because it only helps even more if we go further. Look carefully. It's also free to you. Number three, it doesn't cost you anything. Bro, that's the best news I've had all day. Finances are tight for everybody. Amen? Yeah, it's a slower down season right now. It's free. It's free. And I had you underline those words in that passage, free gift. It's already in that passage. It's already there. If the Holy Spirit is God, if God's presence is truly there and it's a free gift, what does it do? What can he do for you? Not a whole lot, you would seem. If something's free, do you really get a lot when it's free? You know, what really is there? What's the true value if it's free? Check it out. The first is this. He restores you. He restores you. I don't know about you guys, but that right there is enough to go with that last one. to know His actual presence is with me and He's restoring me and it doesn't cost me anything. We don't have time to go through all the things the Holy Spirit does, but just some of these things I think are bigger and important you need to know this morning. You need to take these with you. I have a monumental week ahead of me. A lot of emotions. I'm helping people pack up a house they've lived in 48 years. I grew up in that house. I have so many memories in that house. What goes, what stays, what you know, there's a lot that's coming up here in the next week. I must call out on God and His presence. Help me. Encourage me. And you know what? Through some broken things that may happen in this little journey I'm about to go on, restore me. There was this hummingbird. I study a lot at my house. It's where I do sermon prep, and I have a little office area. And my neighbor is hummingbird nuts, okay? Anybody have a neighbor like that? Great, okay, it's my neighbor. And there's four of these things that sit in the back of his house. There are thousands of these birds. They're coming and going all day. You can actually hear them. You ever heard a hummingbird? You ever heard that? Okay, I feel weird, but that's what they do, all right? So I have a hummingbird feeder. I decided I'd get one, went to Chet's, put one next to my house. So I stole a few of his, which was kind of cool. And they come over, and they don't just stay at the hummingbird feeder, okay? One will wait while the other one's in there, and he leaves, then he goes. And then he leaves, and he goes. And they kind of hover like that. So this one that was hovering here one time, we call him Chet, which is cool because that's where I got his thing from, his feeder. He decides to turn right, and he's like, oh, a house. And he comes right in my house. Okay, all of a sudden, around my computer, I'm hearing zzzz, and that's real. I got a hummingbird in my house. Anybody had a bird in their house? Raise your hand. Okay, in Avalon? I'm not talking about deer. That happens every night. Birds, okay? All of us. Good. And this was in my house. And this happens at least twice a week now because I leave the door open. And I think it's really fun to watch my cats try to jump 6 feet up in the air. Okay, it's kind of sick. But these things do this. They my pets want to just tear them up. It's awesome to watch. Now, he'll sit there and he'll just hammer on the glass. You know the drill. Like, I think I can get out. Looks like I can get out. I can get out. You know? And then he falls down there and he's just cat bait. Okay? So I've got to jump in there and save the day. Do not touch this hummingbird and then let him go. And this goes on and on and on. In fact, it's very distracting, so I have to close the door, quite honestly. But it happens. The bird has to get back to his situation where things are warm and he's provided for. You're saying, dude, all right, cute little story about the bird. What does this have to do with me? We got a bird-type brain. Can't truly understand everything in this universe. And what we do is we go through life thinking, I think I want in there. I think I want God. I think I see what He can do. I think He'll provide for me. I think He's got what's best for me. I think He knows all about my life more than I do. Dink, dink, dink. And Jesus walks in. He says, I have opened the door to your life, man. Stop thumping. And all of a sudden, you got stuff jumping at you all the time, trying to take you out. Like my cat. Situation. And you think it's up to you. And Jesus comes in and he says, it's not up to you. And the door is open called salvation. And you walk through it. And there's more than warmth and provision and comfort. There is discipleship. There is life. Because he says, I want to give you my life. You're now a child of the King. And what I have coming to me, you have coming to you, brother. It's called kingdom. And it's all available. But if you want to sit there and doink, 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 and keep staring at it, you go for it. You got yourself in this mess. I'm here to show you the way out. And he guides us. He's a guidance counselor. He restores us. It's free. He's with us. Great verse, Titus 3. He saved us. Not because of the good things we did, come on, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, gave us a new life through the Holy Spirit, generously poured out the Spirit upon us because of what Jesus Christ, our Savior, did. The Holy Spirit restores us and He comforts us. He comforts us. And I realize, ladies, comfort is a bigger word for you than it is for guys. Okay? I guarantee you, you will not hear comfort ever in the huddle of a football team. Ever. Okay? The truth in life is this. Every person in here needs comfort in their life. Every single person. We have a pie night. It's a very sacred moment. And it's got an interesting name. There's no pie involved, like pizza pie or whatnot, necessarily. It's just this a ton of food and a ton of guys, a ton of story, and a great night around the fire. And we never exactly know how each one will turn out, but they're unique. They build team, they build brotherhood. But most importantly, it's a chance for you to find that I'm not alone. I have something going on. I'm not alone. And sometimes there's laughter. Who doesn't need that? Right? You guys have that. Maybe you have a small group. Maybe you have something where there's something deeper and you get together with someone. And all of a sudden, there's comfort there. The chaos going on around you. My mom and dad are breaking up. Or I'm losing a job. Maybe my father's losing a job. This boyfriend or girlfriend dumped you. If you're a student, maybe your grades are upside down. Your friend world just is chaotic. You went to a small group, came to church today possibly, and nobody greeted you. You just feel like you're out there. Why am I here? What on earth am I here for? So we need a sense of comfort. And the last word in your vocabulary is the first one that the Holy Spirit brings. Peace. Peace. You ever had that moment in your life where you just felt that sense of peace? I talked to a good friend this week. And all hell is breaking loose right now, it seems like, in the family. But there was this resolute peace because he's been walking with God, experiencing God. And as a result, no matter what goes on around me, what the storm looks like, if you've seen The Count of Monte Cristo, great movie, do your worst. I feel at peace, a sense about it. I hear Christians say that all the time. I know I shouldn't because it's destroying everybody else around me, but I just feel this sense of peace. They don't feel like sharing it because they're afraid someone will get offended. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. As a kid, when you got hurt and you ran into the house, did you ever run to dad and say, I'm hurt or I'm injured? Help me out. No, who did you go to? Every time. Mom, okay? Dad's going to say, hey, shake it off, man. Hey, get the remote for me. Make me a sandwich, whatever. Mom will be like, oh, come here. Let me bandage that. Let me help you with that. Way more comforting. That's what the Holy Spirit does in many ways. Comforts us in this stuff and gets a lot of pain out of the way. Great verse here. Acts 9 says, the church then had peace through Judea, Galilee, Samaria. It grew in strength and numbers. The believers were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of what? The Holy Spirit. He brought comfort to the church. Walking in the fear of the Lord. That, by the way, doesn't mean they were afraid of God. The word fear means awe, reverence, and excitement of God. They were walking in the awe of God in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It's good stuff. I really want you guys to get this. I care so much you get this. Because everybody in this room needs peace. God knows. Some of our households, bring it. Bring it. Bring all you got. And some of us have to get up in the morning and just turn some music on that provides a worship environment. You're encouraging peace. You just need it. Maybe it's a candle. Maybe it's a time of day. Maybe it's that rainstorm the other night. Something to bring peace. What does the Holy Spirit do? He restores and he comforts. And the third thing is, he convicts us. Some of you may not like this, and to be honest with you, I don't really like it either. Just looking at it, convict is to remind us of things we're doing wrong. Because the job of the Holy Spirit is to make us more like Jesus. Shake us up a little bit. My job is to take the Holy Bible and to teach it and to preach it as best I can. And some folks come up to me and they're sitting here going, Andrew, you made me feel so guilty. At times, I get that from people. I get an email every now and then that'll say that. That's not me. My job is not to convict you. You're being shaken up by someone way bigger than me. It's the Holy Spirit that's talking to you. I just teach it. And I'm so glad to hear that, because you know what that means? If you're sitting here and you feel a sense of conviction or something that's going on that was said, it's maybe my human words going out through the speaker system, but the Holy Spirit takes them. And he begins to maneuver them into the places, into your heart and into your life. And he takes them, and what he does is he puts them specifically where you need them. kind of like ibuprofen to an injury. I'm always into injuries, it would seem. But it finds the pain, finds the swelling, and reduces this and reduces that. It locates something. And the Holy Spirit is moving around. He's saying, I've located something. I don't know what it is with this guy right now, but I have this need. And the Holy Spirit knows exactly what that is. And he reduces that. And he brings comfort there and conviction. Thank God I'm still alive is what you need to say. Thank God I can still hear from him. Don't be upset. Don't be angry. It means that your heart is not so hard that you're still feeling something. This week, I was under great conviction. And I took some encouraging steps along the way and specifically talked to someone that a year ago, things did not go well between us. It was rough. In fact, it was hostile. I actually never got a word in. Some stuff that came through the conviction of the Holy Spirit lit this person off. They were livid. We haven't spoken since. And this week, there was a chance. There was a chance. I'll call it that. And I felt something inside me deeply. It said, step out, take a risk, and now's the time. And this is a great risk. We were doing fine, I would think, until this happened. And I thought, all heck's going to break loose. So I went over there and I said, hi. Right to the person, hi, how are you? And it was an awkward look, and I thought, oh no, here we go. Press on. So, you got a minute? It's been a while since we've talked. Within about 10 minutes, the conversation had gone in a whole other direction. There were tears flowing of what God's been doing, what God has needed to do. There was conviction all over the place. And the person didn't want to say what was going on, but they did. They were holding back, and for the last year, they were fighting this. The Holy Spirit was moving, and he just couldn't shake it off. And as a result, the risk that I took, I got to encourage the guy and say, thank God you're still alive. Because a lot of people just beat their conscience into submission. I'm not hearing anything, I won't hear anything, and I'm not going to change anything if I did hear something. So they stop hearing. They just beat their conscience into submission. You'll do as I say. This person had not done that, and they were still under the conviction. So we prayed and thanked God that the Spirit is still able to work and move, and slowly but surely some new steps and direction have been taken. Our friendship is very much alive. Some people this weekend are here and maybe you don't feel anything. Their heart is so hard, they don't feel anything. They can listen to an entire message or a sermon and not feel anything about it. Doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit's not working. Amen? It does not mean that at all. The Holy Spirit comes in conjunction with us. We do our part. He does his. I love that. And people will listen to a message and go, it was like you were in my bedroom or something. And I mean, what is it? I feel weird. I mean, conversations this week. No, I'm not in your bedroom. I would get arrested, and that's weird and wrong and all of that. That's the Holy Spirit. He's entered into your heart. You're laying in bed, sometimes in the quietness of the evening when everything slows down and you're hearing something. That is not me. You may be listening to a great sermon, but it's going way deeper than you thought it would. I was listening to a podcast this week. It went way deeper than I thought it would. The Holy Spirit is moving. And that's a good thing. John 16, 7 through 8. Always go back to Scripture. Says this. It's actually best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the Counselor won't come. When I do go away, he will come because I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convince the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and the coming judgment. And what is the role of the Holy Spirit? To convince us of our sin, to convict us. That's what his job is. Now here's the other one. And let me give you some good news, okay? The reason we don't like it when we're convicted is it forces us to change. That's why we don't like it. We just need to change. Here's the exciting part. It empowers you, okay? Write it in. It empowers you. The Holy Spirit gives you power, and that's a weird one. How does he give us power? What does it look like? Acts 1:8. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you'll receive power. What does it mean? My daughter is a runner. Our whole family is involved in sports. I played professional soccer for 7 seasons, and a lot of our kids just became soccer players as a result of just goofing around in the backyard. But this one decided to run, and it wasn't her decision kind of off the bat. It was like something good wasn't happening over here. She's like, I'll try this sport. So she stuck it out and started running. And I have it's been hard for me to attend some of her events. I coach with football, and it's some of those events run simultaneous. But I caught this one recently. I went over town to a large meet. It was a league deal. All these teams were in league. There's 12 different teams there, packed out. And anybody here into running? Anyone here like to run? Like just go out and start running? Okay, cool. I can't do that. Especially running around a soccer field. I'll run during a game, stop and start, but just say I'm going to go and just start running. I have to force myself to do it, and I do, but it's just, it's not my thing. And I would say it's not really Grace's thing either. She does okay. She's not the fastest runner, but she does okay. In this particular race, I showed up and I talked to the coach, who I'm just getting to know a little bit deeper because, like I said, I'm not there at her things. And she says, hey, do you want to go to the halfway point and catch them coming around the halfway point? I'm like, yeah, sure. And I start walking and she starts running. And I'm like, oh, we're going to run to the halfway point. So I try to keep up. It was a half a mile away. I'm just trying to get my cheeseburgers up and moving, and I'm barely catching up to her. Finally, I get there. I'm dying, okay? And here comes the runners. And I'm like, yeah, Grace, go, Grace, good job, Grace. That was it. And I had to take my cheeseburgers and go all the way back. And I'm flying behind Miss Finley. She's just hauling. That's her thing. And did I do anything? I don't know. So I get to the finish line. She goes, I'll tell you what, you're the dad. Why don't you stand on the finish line? I'm going to go about 200 yards up, and this is where I catch them, where they're starting to tire down. I'm going to do a little something there. You do your dad thing here. So I did. I didn't know what the dad thing would totally be, but I'm just going to be there. Yeah, go Grace. I'm going to show you the video of what happened on the finish line where she was tied with this girl the entire race. Will this play?
Get her, Grace. Get her. Holy cow.
Out of nowhere.
Grace. Yeah, Grace.
Yeah, Grace.
Woo! Nice. Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying because we prayed beforehand that that's what the answer to prayer was. All I know is this. I love seeing what I saw. She loved seeing Dad on the finish line, and she kicked some butt and took some names. She got the fastest she's ever had, from 14th place, typical, to 6th place, first in league, made first team all league. That was what I needed to see. And that's what she needed to see inside her. And I'm sitting here going, where did that come from? When I realized I wasn't alone. Grace, where did that come from? I don't know. That's what she said. Miss Finley described, she goes, you were on the finish line, Dad. You're on the finish line. You're not alone. The Holy Spirit is with you. He is there to give you power. And when you're tied with something that's bigger, you can't take it. It is just monumental. There is something to help you kick butt and take names. The Holy Spirit empowers you. Stop looking at these scriptures like some kind of just, wall hanging. Place them deep in your heart. There is power. I don't know where it came from. I do. You realize you're not alone. Show some spirit. Pass the competition. Defeat the enemy. Overtake those things that are overtaking you. No passivity. Why? You are not alone. There is a cheerleader who is your greatest fan at the finish line. You got this. I'm not borrowing this from just any source. It's from the gospel. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you'll receive power. Where does that come from? He said it to you. Why? Because this race is brutal. It's long. It's hot. It just seems like it goes on and on and on. You're not alone. My life verse is the next one in your notes. God's not given us a spirit of fear, timidity, but power, love, and a sound mind. So where does fear come from? If it's not from God. Where does passivity come from? If it's not from God. If you're out of control and you have no idea what to do and you're anxious and you can't think clearly, where do you think that comes from? Where I think this might apply to some of us in here is, man, if you're searching today and you're exploring, this is a force to be reckoned with. You need this, like wind in your sails. But if you're a Christian and you're here and you said yes to God, here's my question. And I say it like a coach would say it. What the heck are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Think of that rhetorically. What are you afraid of if this verse is true? God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, power, love, and self-discipline. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of when inviting someone to church? What are they going to do to you? Look at the empty seats around here this morning. We have three services, empty seats everywhere. Why are you afraid to say to someone, you need to come to church? Because I'm not a pastor? That's what pastors do. Wrong. Trying to figure out what this whole thing means? I got to figure it all out? No, you don't. Why are you afraid? Because someone may ask you some convicting questions and they may want to go deeper and you don't have the answers. Where's that fear coming from? I met a woman just recently. She came right up here, right here, okay? Afterwards, I could see her eyes were kind of moist, tender. She was, a lot was happening. She said, "That was incredible." And I said, "That was incredible?" I thought she was talking about the worship team, okay? Nobody ever talks about a message like that. It's the music. She said, no. I've never heard that before. I said, what? About the Holy Spirit. We talked about him in a series in the past. She said, I've never considered anything about the Holy Spirit. I just kind of leave him off. Pray to Jesus, pray to the Father. I went to bed that night and I was thinking, how many on Catalina Island or in LA County, for God's sakes, have no idea? They'd love for somebody like you to invite them and to pay attention to them and just say, why don't you come over to my house? I go to church on Sunday or I go to church whatever day and invite them to a small group and let them hear about God who loves them. Why don't we do that? Why? Because we don't sense God's power. Because we don't sense his power. It makes us timid. It makes us afraid. The Holy Spirit says, I want to come into you. I want to give you power and confidence and strength. Man, you follow a coach like that, you're not coming in last place. You follow somebody like that on the finish line, you're going to beat your old time. You're going to take the enemy down. I have people and parents that say to me all the time, aren't you afraid to talk to people or even coach, especially teenagers or young people? I mean, they can be so rude. They even talk during the message sometimes, texting, whatever. I've been there before, and I see what they do. Aren't you afraid? And I say, no. I'm not afraid, because I'm not alone. You're not alone. Doing announcements up here, five people in the room, you're not alone. Holy Spirit's your biggest cheerleader. He says, go for it. Do it. That's what it means. Don't be afraid. I don't show up alone. I'm not empowering people in the name of Andrew Hobbs. I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit, empowering you to do the same. The Holy Spirit is your power. So why would I be afraid? What can people do to me? What can they do to you? Nothing. Nothing. That's what it means that the Holy Spirit wants to give you power for you to walk on your jobs, to walk into your campus and hear this, walk into your marriages. Some of them may be difficult. Your head's a little higher. There's a little more confidence. You're walking through empowered by God. Here it is, 1 Corinthians, Paul is speaking. My message and my preaching were very plain. I didn't use wise and persuasive speeches. but the Holy Spirit was powerful among you. That is so rich. Oh my gosh. I didn't do all this persuasive stuff. The Holy Spirit was working. Paul just laid into it. I don't want to get off on this in this service, but I just think there's so many wimpy Christians in our world that don't sense that God wants to empower us with his presence. To give us power to have that conversation, take that next step, maybe to say no when somebody passes you the narcotic, or to give you the power, you know, so to speak, when the joint's being passed, some of this stuff you don't want to do, and you're so afraid to do it, you'll be rejected. Let me take it a step further. This church is doing something very powerful coming up October 21st, I believe. It is next Sunday. And there are some, you saw it on the screen earlier. It went very quickly. This is loaded. Our 101, 201, and 301 is not there to go class, you know. No. 101, what did Jesus do for me? What is going on with me? What's this thing called salvation? And where does it fit in the church? What is the church? 201, how does God want to grow me in my faith? No longer be a baby Christian. I want to take off, man. I want to train so I can make it to the finish line. 301, he's blessed me somehow, some way. What could it be? What's his gift? What has the Spirit got for me that's unique to me? What can I do? Because I'm going to cross that finish line and I'm taking some other people with me. 301, 201, and 101 is moving you forward in your... We don't have a better name for it. That's all it is. It's discipleship made easy. And we do this here at the church because that's the body of Christ and what it's supposed to do. To build up and to edify and to train and to equip the saints. Amen? Sign up. The sign-ups are right out there in the hallway. The sheets are out there in the hallway. Don't get passive. Don't freak out about these things. If the Spirit's telling you you need to grow in your faith, here's an opportunity. The church team's going to take time to stop and pause and say, here's what's going on in the Bible, and tell us what's going on in your life. How does this work together? Apply Scripture to your life. What is God's gifting in my life? Man, sign me up. I ended up being a pastor because I dove into a 301 and someone said, are you going through a calling, bro? All that equipping in my life. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm not going to be afraid. The Holy Spirit directs you. I close with this. Jesus said, when the Father sends the counselor as my representative, my counselor, by counselor I mean the Holy Spirit, okay? He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I myself have told you. He's going to remind you of the things I've told you. Wouldn't you think that if God says, I want to pour out in my Spirit to you, and that by pouring in the Spirit, he wants the Spirit to guide you and direct you? Wouldn't you think that? If he's going to pour something out, don't you think he wants to direct you, do something for you? He's your helper. And when you see this word counselor, what does a counselor do? By counselor, I mean the Holy Spirit. What does a counselor do? He directs. I have some difficult things going on even in my life right now, even in my own life as a pastor. I need a counselor. I need counseling. All marriages need counseling. I need counseling as a guy, as a man, as a father, as a coach. I need guidance. I allow the Word of God to counsel me. I allow others to counsel me. There's wisdom in that. He loves you so much, he doesn't want you to make those wrong steps. He wants you to guide your way through things, but not alone. He wants to lead you in your steps. The only thing I can even compare it to is, and I apologize if you can't compare it like this, is maybe if you've had a good relationship, possibly with your folks, the only thing I can compare it to is my love for my kids. I love them to death. I'd do anything for my kids. I'll coach them. I'll guide them. I'll direct them. All they have to do is ask. Maddie was finishing up her internship. She said, Dad, no one can come up, and I'm graduating as a teacher, getting my credential. Can you come? And I'm like, doggone it. And I had a lot going on. And I knew it'd be quick, in there and out of there real quick. But I took a boat and a car, and I prayed my car wouldn't break down. I drove all the way up there. I was exhausted when I got there. She goes, Dad, you made it. I said, yeah. She goes, let me practice my speech on you. I'm like, speech? She goes, yeah, I'm giving a speech. I'm getting a thing tonight, an award. I'm going, oh, the speech. Of course, speech. Go for it. So she's stumbling through it. Like, this isn't very good, is it, Dad? You know, and she had that look on her face. And she's practicing. She's got on a chair. I'm sitting on the couch. There's the photo right there. And within a few minutes, I go, Matt, cheer up a little bit. You're a teacher. You know, not all kids are bad. Let's, you know, whatever. All I know is a couple little things came out of my mouth. And all of a sudden, she starts smiling. She's like, I got this. And I'm like, yeah, put that in your speech. Add a little humor in there. And this is important. Matt, have some confidence, Maddie. And I watched her do her speech. I watched her get her award. Got in a car. Came home. The point is, I can tell you I would do anything to help, coach, guide, and direct. The Holy Spirit wants to do that in your life. He shows up and he says, I don't care how small it is. Come over here for a minute. Tell me all of it. What is it? When the Spirit of truth comes, he's going to guide you into all truth. Circle guide. He will not be presenting his own ideas. He'll be telling you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. You don't have to go through life lost. I love that. What a great verse. That's why, at the very beginning of this message, I took the time to say, show some spirit. I had no idea when I got up there if I was going to be exhausted and just kind of a dead, you know, killjoy on the whole event. I didn't know I even had anything to offer other than just to be there and attend the whole thing. I don't even know what I was going to. But all of a sudden, there was involvement there. I am not the Holy Spirit. And man, think of the Holy Spirit. He is after you tenaciously to say, bring me everything you have. And I will show you where you're headed. How do you respond to that? How do you respond to all that God's Spirit wants to do in your life, in my life? My closing thoughts say this. Well, receive it. Receive it. Number one, first, you might believe and receive God's Spirit. Receive it. All you have to do is believe. And once you believe that the Spirit is poured out on you, guess what? You get a gift. The support. Does anybody like gifts and support, right? Anybody need it? I need it. Everybody needs it. Like, it's a gift. You ever reject a gift? Those of us that have gone through weddings and other things, there's a lot of weird gifts you get sometimes. A gift is all right. You believe, you receive God's gift. This one's worth receiving, okay? He wants to hear you today. And if you hear nothing, hear this. I love you so much, I want to pour out my Spirit into you as a gift. Jesus is all over this. And when you believe, he pours it on. That's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's poured out on you. There's a lot of fun YouTubes on this. I'm not going to play any, but you should YouTube the Holy Spirit. Just some of the fun stuff that you see when people receive him. Second thing is this. Thank God for the work you can't do yourself. Thank God for the work you can't do yourself. Those of you who are Christians, thank God that you can't do this yourself. Imagine what this looked like. Oh my gosh. If you took matters into your own hands, maybe you already know what it looks like because you took the matter into your own hands. Let it go. Let it go. You can't empower yourself. You can't direct yourself. All those things we talked about. Thank God for some things about the spiritual life that are supernatural, that are powerful, that you can't do on your own. It's up to him. Number three, finally, you allow God's Spirit to influence you. And I know that this may seem very logical. It follows in the steps. Well, you need to hear this. It's going to change you. Let me go back to an illustration in God's presence. Here it's with me all the time, okay? Just imagine that you're going through life with God's presence. Don't you think that God's presence would influence your life? When you stop sometimes, and your intention with your spouse, or maybe family members, parents, and a friend, and you say these words, Holy Spirit, give me the words to say, catch my heart, that he might influence your words. You walk by a group of people, God, give me the eyes to see them differently. This teenager in my group just acts like they hate me. God, give me the eyes to see them differently. My employer is moody all the time. I can't figure them out. God, give me the patience and the words to say to not set them off. You're asking for influence. That Acts 2 church, the one in the beginning of all this. These were people led by the Spirit. Maybe what you do is, it's your swipey. Maybe it's your piece of tape. Maybe it's something you put on your watch, which I do this week too. Maybe it's something that you put on a keychain or this little ring thing that you get or in your mirror while you're shaving. Something that you're reminded of every day. When you wake up in the morning, you put it on. It's a reminder. I put it on. It's a reminder. God's Spirit has been put in me. If our worship team can come up. I'm going to live my life today, and I'm empowered. I'm not dead. I'm going to live my life today because it's not mine. I gave it to Christ. And I want to live His life through me. I'm not alone. God says, I love you. I want to pour out myself upon you. That's His Spirit. May this church show some Spirit. Inside, so many people need to hear these words. So many people need an invitation. And you're that opportunity. Have courage. Have courage. Let's pray. God, thanks that you have filled those of us who believe with your presence. Now, God, may we be led by your Spirit. Can we be different because we were here and your Spirit moved in our hearts and you took my broken words and did something in our lives that might be different and not led by our own desires or by our friends? Or by the ways of the world, but by your Spirit. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.